Hi, everybody. On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, we try to figure out the difference between a remake and a reboot, how the Jetsons' future is closer than we realize, and host Emily joins us to talk about her time in South Korea.
안녕하세요.
But first, a message from our sponsor. Looking to find a new financial institution with less pesky fees? Advantage Financial offers free checking accounts and more. Visit them today and mention We Don't Know Either for $50 cash when you open a checking account. Go to advfcu.org for details.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 306 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. It's 2019, and I said that right the first time. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Emily.
That's so proud of laughing.
Heck yeah. Starting off 2019 right, saying the stuff. Emily's here.
I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. Welcome back to the States. The last time we saw you, you were about to head off to South Korea for a semester abroad. Yeah. How was it? Tell us about your experience.
It was good. Yeah, I think that I was in for the podcast literally the day before I left for South Korea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was
yes. And I had, yeah. But it was great. I was studying there. I was gone for about 4 months. I need to say something clever and fun about my time there.
What did you study?
I studied political science and linguistics.
Okay.
Which is the same things that I study here.
Is there anything politically, you know, volatile going on in that region?
Well, they happen to be right next to North Korea.
Oh.
That's kind of like a thing.
Maps.
And so,
lots to
that's
study.
That's always kind of a thing. I was taking a class in South Korea U.S. relations, which is even when it's good, it's still a whole thing because there's so much going on.
This is very true. I was going to ask you what was the craziest different thing that you ate or drank.
The craziest different thing that
yeah.
I
which
ate
I would love I like
or
to ask anyone
drank.
Studying abroad or that went abroad or anywhere. I don't like watching those shows where it's, you know, the weird
yeah.
stuff, but hey, maybe there's something cool you found that you liked.
So it isn't, well, I don't know if I like it.
This
is one of my I've been to South Korea before, and so I'm, pretty well acquainted with the cuisine. But they have this thing. I don't know if you're super familiar with South Korean cuisine, but they're really big on side dishes.
Okay.
It's called banchan, and they bring out, a ton of plates of them. And one that comes out a lot is it's this, acorn jelly. It's, a little jelly, and it's made of acorns. And it tastes almost like nothing. It's really just a textural experience.
Huh.
And I'm not a big fan of gelatinous foods.
Normally,
I mean,
if someone says
fine.
Texture experience, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
See ya.
I love new experiences, especially food experiences.
The same.
It's kind of almost just it doesn't have gelatin in it. It's made with acorn starch, but it's almost if you were just eating unflavored jello.
If we were going to order that, what would we say? What's it called?
Dodori-mugi.
Okay. Everybody write that down.
And that is your secret phrase. No, I'm not kidding.
That is your secret phrase.
That is
must
not
be
your
spelled right.
Dodori means acorn, and mugi means jelly. So.
Cool.
So it's a literal translation.
Yeah, yeah, that is,
acorn
for the record, not your secret phrase, because we
no,
are not going to spell
not. Don't
that.
Do that.
And you have to write it in the Korean script.
Jeez Louise.
All characters.
So, Emily, why don't you kick us off with your interesting fact, then? And you said you had two that were both very
they're
topical.
They're both pretty topical, I guess. We were already, because last time I was here, you were do you have any facts about South Korea? And I was oh, yeah, that would have been a good idea. And I didn't prepare any. So I prepared one this time.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Which I do not know a lot about South Korea, so I'm going to probably get this wrong. That's my prediction. Which is a fair thing for all facts.
Sorry. Yeah. That's not really an exclusive
unless I'm
thing.
Asking it.
Right.
All right. Sorry, Emily. Go ahead.
So in 2011, South Korea passed a law nicknamed the Cinderella Law, which banned children under the age of 16 from doing what after midnight?
I have a guess.
I have a guess as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to go first, Michael?
Talking to mice.
talking to mice.
For real, I think my guess is driving.
Driving
after midnight.
That would also be my guess, driving, because that's how it was referred to in Pennsylvania. If you were 16, you couldn't drive past 11 p.m. or midnight or whatever it was, and it was called the Cinderella Law.
Okay.
Same in California for mm-hmm. I think the first year you had your license.
But maybe that's too obvious of an answer.
I actually know this.
You know it?
I believe it or not, I actually know this. This is one of those random things that has nothing to do with anything, but because of what I do.
Yeah, we get it. Trivia, you do trivia.
It's not because of trivia. Actually, it has nothing to do with trivia. I watch a lot of StarCraft competitions, League of Legends competitions.
Oh, okay.
It's the Cinderella Laws. After midnight, they shut down the gaming.
They shut down gaming. Yeah. You're not allowed to play online games after midnight if you're under 16. Because, well, one, you can't get your driver's license until you're 18 in Korea.
Okay.
So 16-year-olds aren't allowed to drive ever.
If I knew that, I would have changed my answer.
Same.
But it was also nicknamed the Shutdown Law. I think Cinderella Law sounds better. But yeah, they had such a problem with kids, with like students, 16 and older, just staying up until like
They can't 4
or
5
or 6
a.m.
They could not function at school the next day because they were staying up until ridiculous hours playing like League and StarCraft. And
And all of the world's best online gamers are in South Korea.
Is that still, they're still the best even after this law was passed?
They still, as a matter of fact, most, without getting at all in depth in it at all, people travel from around the world to go to South Korea in order to join up with teams and clans and move into houses together that are all set up for gaming. And they do that for multiple reasons. One, the competition, get better, everything involved with having coaches and doing things along those lines, but mainly because of the ping rates, because they can all be on the same server and they're closer, so that their decisions and their choices will be enacted faster as a result of the internet connections.
And South Korea also has the fastest Wi-Fi in the world. Bonus trivia fact.
Yeah, wow. driven significantly by the online gaming community.
Yeah,
very cool.
Yeah,
and very relevant. Nice.
So that's like the one thing you could have asked me about South Korea that I actually had an idea.
I guess I could have logicked my way there, but nope, not today. Michael, would you like to go next here?
Sure. So everybody here is familiar with the Jetsons, I hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like there's going to be a point where you ask that question and somebody's going to say no.
I think we're getting close.
But today is not that day.
Yeah, because it's not something you discover, like that was discovered because you're flicking through channels and it's on and you watch and you know it's a classic thing. Same thing with Flintstones, whatever. I don't feel like we have that experience anymore because everything is streamed and you can go exactly what you want right away.
You're not going to come across instead of browsing through channels to see what's on, you browse through lineups to see what's available.
I was going to say, I think my indecision is worse in the streaming time with trying to pick something to watch.
Well, because it feels like a commitment. You're like, well, I have all of them. I can't stop in the middle of one.
It's also too many options.
It's a little overload.
But I feel like pilots and usually first seasons aren't as good as later middle seasons once they start, you know, getting their groove on. So if I watch the first episode of Parks and Rec, I'm not going to continue that show. Whereas if I stumbled across it flicking through the channels, this episode is really funny. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
But
to get back on topic, though, that's actually pretty similar to what I want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
The Jetsons, overall, it spanned 3 seasons.
Really? Only 3 seasons?
Only 3 seasons. Now, the thing that's interesting about that, the first season was between 62 and 63. Second and third season weren't until the mid-80s.
Oh.
So I'm asking specifically about the first run. How many episodes were in the original first run of the Jetsons?
The first season.
The first season. Essentially the first run.
Essentially the only run for 20 years.
Yes, exactly.
Wait, so there was one season in the 60s, then 2 seasons.
Yeah, so they did. Okay. They did one season from September 62 to March 63, and then it came back in September of 85, and ran through November of 87.
Right.
This is just shocking to me that it was only one season, because Jetsons to me is, you know,
it's super iconic.
It's prolific.
Yeah, prolific. Yeah. That's a perfect word for it. Prolific.
Right.
And so you think that it's been around for. I had no idea that he was even rebooted. Or is it considered a reboot when it just is a second and third
years later?
Yeah. It's all. I don't think it's considered here as a reboot. I think it's just. They call it. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, But it is season one, season two, season three.
Yeah, I think this is a Doctor Who scenario where Doctor Who's been on the air for 50 years, except for the like 11 years where it wasn't. Right? Mm. So they finished with the Eighth Doctor, and then 11 years later, they started with the Ninth Doctor. They just, it's a continuation more so than a reboot.
Got it. So, Emily, what would, in your opinion, define a reboot? Like, if I'm calling something a reboot, what characteristics would it have to have?
I would say that the reboot has to be, like, a reboot has to be different significantly from the original source material. Like, if Jetsons comes back with the same animation style, they're trying to stick as close as possible to the first season, then it's not a reboot. If they're, like, changing animation style or
becoming live action,
becoming like live action,
consider Lion King, the new one coming out this year, to be a reboot. Was Beauty and the Beast a reboot, or are they just a live action remake? Is that a different category? You're the linguistics person here.
I don't know if that falls under what I do.
I'd call those reboot. Well,
no, they're definitely not. So live action remakes, I think, is a specific category in and of itself that Disney has sort of pseudo reinvented.
Now, does a reboot necessarily mean a change to the plot, though?
It doesn't necessarily mean a change to the plot, in my opinion. I think it is a reintroduction of familiar tropes and concepts.
Well, because so the example that's coming to my mind is when they did the Spider-Man movies.
Sure.
Yeah.
The first two. And then they've done it again with Homecoming now that he's part of the MCU. But you have that whole Mary Jane storyline in the first three.
Right.
They reboot it with Andrew Garfield, and now you have Gwen Stacy.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is very, I think recasting has a lot to do with it.
Okay.
Retelling of the same stories has a lot to do with it, right? So the new Star Treks with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto,
yeah,
that is a reboot.
That's a reboot.
Because they're essentially remaking the same movies.
I would also say that a reboot cannot be just one movie. Like at least in my mind, like in my mental lexicon of the word reboot, like when, like the Beauty and the Beast,
uh-huh,
since it's just one movie, it's one movie to one movie. It's not a reboot. Whereas like Spider-Man being multiple movies has like an overarching plot that carries between the movies.
Sure.
With a television series, it carries between the episodes and the seasons.
Right.
So but you're if, saying,
yeah.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, but you're saying, so essentially a reboot has to launch its own setup, its own franchise.
Yeah, have its own world building, have its own.
So here's a question for you.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Is it cheesecake Ghostbusters.
A pie?
That.
We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters remake, is that a remake or a reboot?
This sounds like a great puzzle round. Is it a reboot according to the We Don't Know We Live
podcast?
Everybody would hate that.
Oh, so much.
I haven't seen the new Ghostbusters.
Okay. That's reasonable.
I've only really seen the old Ghostbusters like once many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not
so
super
it's
firm.
It's different characters. It's different scenario.
Yeah, it's different,
different storylines.
Different categories of categories.
From our whole conversation here, then this would not be a reboot. It is merely a continuation,
just
20 years later.
And let's go back to your question, which is the whole point of this podcast.
Right. How many episodes were in the first
season? How many episodes was in that original first run?
I think that, I don't know why the number 24 is most television shows. Isn't that 24 in relation to TV seasons?
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, so 24 sticks out in my head.
Or 23?
I was going to say 26.
Yeah, I think all of those are reasonable.
Like,
or eight, just eight. No.
Right.
But I'm going to stick with 24. I'm going to go with my gut.
I feel like it's either going to be, I always do this, I'm like, it's going to be something really low or really high. It's like, oh, it's four or it's like 59. And you're like, oh,
yeah, it's
okay.
Not a BBC
but
show.
But I'm going to go with 26.
Yeah, and I'll say 23 because I think those are the three most like common 80s, sort of 60s, 50s,
but
like a real true television season in the United States.
Okay. All right, Michael, what is it?
Well, it is 24.
Hey, Lindsay got one.
I guess I was more surprised at this because one of the things that happened is when they went to season two, that's where they started introducing different characters is the other thing. So you had like Orbity, which was like the alien pet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you had Orwell, who was like Spacely's nephew.
Yep.
And Rudy became a big character, was Jetson's computer and stuff like that. But I remember growing up as a kid, like the cartoons without all those guys. So I always thought it was like 50 episodes or something.
No, those were just like repeats of the original.
They very much could have been, yeah.
I would like to.
But the second season was interesting, is 41 episodes.
Oh, 41. Okay.
The second was 41, and the third was only 10.
We love
consistency. So it was a little all over the map. But yeah, 24 was the answer.
How long were the original episodes of The Simpsons? Not the
They were half hours.
They were half hours. Okay.
And the interesting thing, primetime. Airing in primetime.
Yeah.
Which
absolutely.
Is one of the things that always blows my mind, because I always watched them like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah. When was The Jetsons set? What year?
It wasn't it set like 2003?
2062.
Okay.
What?
So 2062. So fun.
We still got time.
So fun fact, though, we are closer to the year that The Jetsons was set than
we
were
to
1962 debut. Yeah.
Right.
So 1962 from now, 2019. Yeah, me doing math.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were writing down. That you were writing furiously. I didn't realize you were doing long division by hand.
Simple subtraction. But yeah, 62 or 2062 is 43 years away, and 1962 is 57 years ago.
Way to date the podcast, Lindsay.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so we're closer to that, which was 100 years from the air date, than we are to the original airing of The Jetsons, which I think is a very interesting.
That is, yeah.
That's always a fun trivia category for me, is that which is this closer to? Like the birth of Cleopatra was closer to today than it was to the building of the pyramids.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the sound of my mind blowing up.
Yeah. The you know, the little dust mites that you see in the corner of your eyes, the little like speck of dust that you see, the size of that speck of dust is closer to the size of the Earth than it is to the size of an atom.
That was mine.
Where's my soundboard?
Yeah.
Okay, Nick, what is your fact?
My fact is related to horror movies. Horror movies, and specifically the lead serial killers.
Oh, okay.
In said horror movie franchises.
Okay.
Who wins?
Oh, who is the most
Which
kills?
Which horror villain has the highest body count? And Michael, you are disqualified from answering.
Yes, I am.
This is according to whom?
Wait, this is
who?
According to a website.
You said which four villains?
Horror.
Oh, horror. I was
horror
like,
villains.
Who are the four?
This is from a website called Horror Enthusiast, who went through and meticulously attributed each death in each movie to specific characters.
They
so
did
for,
the math.
for example, if a character died running away and tripped and fell and died, they didn't give credit to the killer.
This is direct kills.
It is direct kills for the killer. They did count off-screen kills.
Okay.
You know, like when the killer's like holding the person and then they show up dead later, that they attributed that to the killer. So, and with all but one instance on the list, and I actually have the top 16 because there was a tie. I have the top 16 on the list. They attributed all of the kills to a single individual, with one exception.
Okay, so we got to go through the big ones. Freddy Krueger immediately comes to mind.
Jason.
Yeah, Jason. Who's the guy with the chainsaw?
Leatherface. Leatherface. Yeah.
Is that different than Michael Myers?
That is different than Michael Myers.
Okay, Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Those are guesses
I feel like
that
Michael
I have.
Michael Myers didn't kill that many people. I feel I like know. He was kind of like really dead set on that one, on Jamie Lee Curtis. he was like, he wasn't like, some of them were just like, I'm going to kill anyone. And he was like,
I'm going to kill her.
I'm going to kill her specifically.
And he didn't.
And he
Actually,
did not.
I haven't
so.
Seen the most recent one. So.
Spoiler alert. I haven't watched a lot of the classic horror movies, to be honest. So
okay.
I'm not the person to know anything about them. I like to read the Wikipedia summaries of them. I just read the Wikipedia for Bird Box, which I'm never going to watch, but I've read it. I know all about A Quiet Place, never saw it, but I can summarize it for you really well.
Sure.
Saw the end of it.
I read the summary for Bird Box before I watched it because I was like, I can't get too spooked.
Honestly, I thought it was a delivery service that would show up at your house. And I was very confused.
The newest takeout.
Yeah, like Stitch Fix or something.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to stick with Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
For no reason other than I like his sweater.
It is an excellent striped sweater.
I'm going to say Jason just because I know that there's a ton of Friday the 13th movies.
There's
like 5.
12.
12.
There's, 12. And also, there's a lot of kids that go to camp, right? I feel like that's just a constant repopulation of your... Supply.
The Saw movies wouldn't count because like that's not like Jigsaw doesn't get any like direct kills on anyone. Would they?
So, yes.
Do the traps in Saw count?
Jigsaw is on the list. The traps do count. It's not okay. murdering by hand. It is causing the death of, but directly causing the death of, not accidentally causing the death of.
Okay, tell us.
All right, so, Lindsay, your guess, Freddy Krueger, 42 kills in all of the Nightmare on Elm Street and crossover movies that he appeared in. He finished at number 8 on the list.
All right, top 10, all right.
Number 1 on the list, 146 kills across 12 movies. Jason Voorhees.
Hey.
Yeah. Good job, Emily.
Where did Jigsaw end up?
Jigsaw ended up at 3. Now, the interesting thing about Jigsaw is because there have been so many movies and because there have been so many different killers in the movies, they only attributed the kills to the character John Kramer.
Who the original.
The original.
Oh. Yeah, because also doesn't he, like, die in, like, one of them?
He dies
Spoilers?
Pretty much in the second movie.
Yeah, he's, like, outie.
But his kills, he has set things up. So another fun thing about the Jigsaw movies, and again, I haven't
is
seen
Is fun the word you're looking for?
It actually, in my
I haven't opinion. Seen any of them, but I have read the Wikipedia summary.
Right. As have I.
So, and I haven't seen all of the movies, but the entirety of the, I'm going to make a wild statement with no claim, with no specific claim.
So typical day.
The entirety of the Saw movies takes place over the course of like a week.
I don't
Wait,
think
no,
that's true.
No way.
It's years between
That
them.
Has to be majorly retconned if that's going to be the
I
case.
I don't believe so. I believe that the second one picks up like the instant the first one ends. And then the third one picks up the instant the second one ends.
But the first one takes place over like multiple days, doesn't it?
It takes place over the course of, I think, one day.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't have started to sign off my foot immediately after one day. I would have given it a second.
You got
to
figure out option
a little
B
hasty,
first.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's the whole series takes place over a very compressed period of time, whereas like the Friday the 13th series takes place over decades. Yeah.
We're going to look that up and we will double check and confirm next week. It's very possible that you were right. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I want to confirm and I don't want to tell the people something else.
Yeah. It's basically what I'm saying is it takes place over a much more compressed period of time than you would originally
have
thought.
It has to be like insanely retconned if they're trying to like make that happen. Yeah. There's no way that was like originally in their plan.
So Michael Myers, other killers you mentioned, Michael Myers is second on the list at 111.
Oh. Really?
The only one on the list that is a composite of multiple killers that they allowed was the Ghostface killer.
From Scream.
Right, which was multiple
Is that different
people.
From the... What
from the rapper?
No, the funny versions of those. Is that what it is?
It is different from the scary movie.
Scary movies. Because I almost said, I was picturing the Scream mask in the scary movie context. I was like, I bet you it's going to be something weird and random like that, even though that's not a horror movie and a comedy.
It's like, are these all... These are all American horror movies, yeah?
For the
are
most
there
part,
any,
yes.
Is there like The Grudge on there? Is like the original version of The Grudge on there? Is Godzilla on there? Is Godzilla a horror movie?
Godzilla's not really
so.
A horror
movie.
It's more of a
sci-fi. Was it a horror movie when it came
Rebooted
out?
Or remade? No, just kidding.
What about the Cloverfield monster?
I've always felt those monster movies were different than horror movies.
Correct.
Yes. Give us one more, because I got to go to my fact. We're running out of time.
So just rounding out the top 10, the Leprechaun at 45 kills, Leprechaun, Chucky at 38 kills, and Pinhead from Hellraiser at 35 is the top 10. Mm. Leatherface, Hannibal Lecter, not in the top 10.
Those are rookie numbers.
Yeah. Hannibal Lecter really takes the time. Yeah. You know,
it takes a while to prepare the meal.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed him. Okay, so I had a really longer fact that was kind of kicking off New Year's and motivation for 2019. But that will be motivation for you to listen to next week's episode, because this week I'm going to talk about something very brief, I promise. Funko Pops.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
They're so creepy. I hate them so much.
I got a couple on my desk.
Oh.
I have literally nothing. I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're the little – I have one I pulled up. There's one of Jigsaw, so that was going to be my transition.
Oh, those things on your desk.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I hate them so much.
Yeah, the Jigsaw one's pretty weird.
That's haunted.
So on average...
Hey,
there's
your secret phrase.
What?
That's haunted.
That's haunted.
There you go.
That's haunted is your secret phrase. That's haunted.
That's
saying
haunted.
It again. Yeah. Oh, and here's Nick's cell phone going off in the middle of the podcast recording. You're out of arm's reach and you're very lucky about it. Okay, so... Funko Pops, on average, stand 3.75 inches tall in their neutral position, which is a bonus fun fact about them. But I would like to know which restaurant mascot inspired the Funko Pop craze in 1998. So originally
1998?
The guy... 1998? Yeah, so It's this wasn't the first one, but it was in one of the first of the main collections they went through. They're called Funko Force for a while. The original guy, Mike Beaker, in 1998, he was a t-shirt designer. He wanted to have a coin bank of this particular restaurant mascot. Didn't exist. That caused him to start to try to make his own figures and own things, and that led him down this path. He eventually sold the company, but now there's, you know, 3,000 of them, and one of the biggest collectible items
is one of the original restaurant mascot.
Correct. Okay. So this restaurant mascot inspired the Funko Pop craze, is how I will phrase that wording. And this is according to multiple sources, including Funko Pop itself and a huge Rolling Stone article about it, which they named Pop Culture.
That's clever. Glad that's the only pun that can be
made. I have a guess.
Go ahead, Max.
I'm going to say Big Boy.
That's exactly what my guess was going to be. Bob's Big Boy? Yeah.
Did you ever see the Austin Powers movies? Like the guy in the overalls that did one of these, he held up the burger.
You guys are both correct. That is.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, so it is Big Boy. One of the first iterations, too, of the collectibles were the General Mills cereal. So you had like Popeye, you had General Mills like Count Chocula, Big Boy, and a bunch of those. A lot of them were worth, you know, thousands
of
dollars
now,
just like all Beanie Babies. So I'm sure they'll be valuable forever.
Right, just like Beanie Babies are now.
Yeah. Some of them, maybe. I don't know.
I had a super collectible. I mean, I still have. It's one of the really collectible Beanie Babies. Why can I not say any of those words? But when I was around, like, 7 or 8, I was like, this Beanie Baby needs a haircut. And so it's like a pony. Or it's a horse. And I was like, I'm going to trim its mane. So I did. And now it's worthless because I cut, like, most of its hair off.
I had one. When I was in high school, I went out with my girlfriend and we bought one, and it ends up being one of the highest value. It's the Red Bull, Toro the Bull.
The Red Bull,
and I have
the original.
No idea where it is.
I don't know how much they still hold their value, but I want to look it up immediately. But we need to wrap up this edition of the We Don't Know Either podcast. Emily is back on next week. We'll have your Saw updates and more things like that and the current value of Beanie Babies. But this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Emily.
We don't know either.
Bye.
Bye.